Pastor Mari.
Thank you, pastors. Do you love your leaders? I hope you do. You know, if you celebrate your leaders, you'll have leaders worth celebrating. Just saying, you know. So it's so good to be with you. It's like all the things that God is doing among you. I hope you're excited about what God is going to do amongst you. Hey, do you feel excited? God is always up to something, isn't it? He's a rascal, you know. You're like, I don't know about your Jesus, but my Jesus is fun. You're not very religious. He's always up to something. And I know that God is going to... I've got this word, and it came to me at the beginning of the year, and I've really been releasing it in the churches that partner with us. And I'm so thrilled. Like, I was so excited when Pastor Stephen talked about me coming here. And it's like, this is the third time. Yeah, wow. This is good, you know. I feel like family now. Like, I don't know when the... You want to shift me? Is that you better now? Your OCD is... Oh, you're going to get a... Is that better now, Steve? You calm now? That's very good. If you do feel like family. I don't feel like I'm visiting. I feel like I'm like part of you. And it's really good to be like that. Who knows that God is a relational God? You know, He's relational. So we've got to learn to do that. We've got to learn to do that as His body and be who we are in that. And in that, I want to say this to you. There's this one word that came to me, and I keep releasing it in churches, and it's been amazing the effect of what that has. Isn't it amazing how one word will change your life? You know? And I'm excited about the prophetic and what God is doing in churches through that. And I can see God really establishing many of you in the prophetic. Many of you. Some more than others. You know? So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12. This is a very good looking crowd here, hey. How'd you do that? Like what? It's only no uglier people allowed in this church. Is that the rule? The ugly people have to go to the Presbyterian church or something, do they? Don't tell them. Are you there? Romans 1, verse 11 and 12. It says this, "For I long to see you." I could read this, it's like me. "That I might impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." Established. "That is, that you may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both you and me." See, I know that, guess what? God's establishing you. God's establishing me. God's establishing you as a church, as a community, as a family. And He's establishing you as an individual in your calling, in your identity. It's kind of like this message is kind of like for you as a person and for you as a church. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what's on the church is going to get on you. And what's on you is going to get on the church. It kind of works out. And this is, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. May the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, listen to this, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm just going to preach. I would want to preach on like all of those things. I know that God, I might mention these, but if you meditate on this, I pray that God will reveal to you, like He's going to perfect you. I know some of you are pretty perfect. But the rest of us, He's going to help perfect us. Isn't that an amazing thought? That God is going to establish you so that there's nothing missing. Perfect you. You know, you're going to show up in heaven perfect. Isn't that amazing? Perfect, James says this, body, soul, and spirit. He's going to present you faultless before Him. Isn't that an amazing thought? We look at ourselves and we see everything that's wrong, but God looks at us and sees Him. See, God, let me really say this to you, that God is not only establishing people this year, but he's establishing identity, calling in individual believers and local churches so that each part may fulfill its place in the body of Christ. Your place. Are you hearing me? Your place here. That this can never, if you like, C3 Kwinana cannot be fulfill what it's on it without you. And the church in Kwinana, like we passed a couple of the Salvation Army and all those guys, because it's going to take all of you to take Kwinana. Is that true? And if you do your bit, if you reach the people and disciple the people that God has, do you know that he's assigned people to you? Both as individuals and as a body. Is that true? And so God is going to establish you. If you look at the Greek meaning of establish that it uses there, it's called sterizo, like steroid, strengthen. It means you're going to be set fast. You know, like concrete? It sets. It starts off what they call in plasticity, and then it sets fast, hard, becomes stone. He's going to fix you firmly. He's going to make you resolute. Who's stubborn here? Who's married to someone stubborn? Point to them. Resolute. Say, I'm not stubborn, I'm resolute. Yeah, Eliza, this is all there. You know, support. Yeah, that's a whole, you know, don't have your domestic here, okay? That's like, you can sort that out either, you know? Isn't that? Because if you like, resolute, because there's so many things. Stubborn is fleshly, isn't that true? But resolute is the anointed, sanctified version of that. It's like, who knows that pride is ugly? But confidence is beautiful. It's the sanctified version of that. You can be as confident in the kingdom as you like. Is that true? Prideful, that stinks. There's always a sanctified version of those things. See, I just don't want to hype you up. I just don't really want to encourage you that God's going to bring spiritual infrastructure to your life and to the life of this church. You know, spiritual support. You're like, aren't you glad that your bones create structure for you? That because they are set, because they are established, you can move. You're not just this jelly blob. That you're actually, isn't that amazing? You're actually able to move because of the hard established things in your body. Do you know? You still may feel pressure, but you're not going to panic. You know, one of the worst things we do as believers, and I was sharing this in the conference yesterday, one of the worst things that we do, the worst things we do is be anxious. It does not suit the believer. Like you ever heard, I remember my mentor says, you know, people would say to me, I'm just a born warrior. He would say, I'm a born fornicator. So am I allowed to be that? Well, you've all gone. You're all freaked out on me. Are you okay? Well, I'm not allowed to do that, am I? So if I'm a born warrior, I'm actually not allowed to be a warrior. Are you hearing me? Does not suit the believer. Does not suit you worry. How's worrying going for you? I got a thumbs down from the outside. That's good. See, God wants, it says this. He set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Psalm 40 verse 2. He's going to establish you. Are you hearing me? If you've had instability in your life, if you've had up and down kind of life with the Lord, back and forth. We had a couple that showed up in church this morning that he'd been backslidden, and we kind of had a word for him about God redeeming. He come up to me and goes, oh my gosh, like that. So he spoke to me because he was in, and it was so funny, and he talked to pastor, wanting to connect with pastor, because I can see God, even being in that meeting, God started establishing him from the get-go. It's quite amazing. You know, see, many, many believers want a bit blessing. It's true. But very few understand the word establish. Let me tell you something. You need to know, Do you know that there's something beyond being getting blessing? It's actually being blessed. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? I bless you in the name of Jesus, but I hope that you don't just get a blessing. I hope that what your life turns so that your life is blessed. That whatever you put your hand to prospers and is blessed. I pray that your home is blessed. I pray that your marriage is blessed. I pray that your kids are blessed. I pray that your workplace, your school is blessed. True? Not just get blessings, just not little sprinklings, but actually as it becomes a carrying and, if you like, a well and an overflow of blessing from your life. Is that true? I'd rather live in blessing than get breakthrough. I'd rather live established than need a miracle. Some of you are getting this, okay? See, Peter was writing this, and even his testimony in being talking about established, because who knows that Peter in the beginning, when he was Simon, was not very established. He was all over the shop. But through a period of what God had used him and failing and doing and learning, now he's the person that is starting to release blessing over Peter to a people that were persecuted, displaced, misunderstood, and shaking in their faith. He comes and brings this word to you. So I feel like this word is for you. This is not just a sermon to just, like, I don't know, recite like I would sing a song to you, a song that you know. No, I want you to all understand that this is something that's going to actually happen to you because you're in the sound of my voice. That even if you don't want to be established, sucked in, you're going to end up being established. Let me say this. I know this. That you're going to be actually, by the end of the year, happy to be in your skin. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Just to be happy to be yourself and feel more like yourself than ever before. Isn't that a good place? You know, I'm not agitated. I'm not annoyed. I'm just happy to be me. Solomon talked about it. It was almost talked about it as like almost the supreme blessing of a human being is to be content. He said, contentment with godliness is great gain. And we're talking about one of the wealthiest people to have ever lived. You know? See, God wants to establish us even after shaking. The mystics would always talk about this. The old prophets and all would talk about how we go along in order and then we go into disorder. And then God reestablishes us at a new order. There's always been that throughout the church. Who can even feel now in church life that we're kind of, it was all going good. We had revivals going out. We had all sorts of things, church growth, all sorts of the leadership was being talked about. And then all of a sudden, all these great leaders failed. I got contacted by a Charisma magazine if I would give a prophetic word about why all these great leaders around the world are failing. Nah. I don't want to have no comment. I'm not going to have no judgment on all of that. But I know what God is doing. He's putting us so we don't have any, we're not established in man or a system or a church or a religious thing. We're established in Him. Is that true? You know, and everything that will get between us and Him, He will make fail us. So we go into disorder until we are reestablished in a new order, a right order of living with Christ. Is that true? So whatever, He will allow to be shaken, whatever can be shaken. He'll expose every weak foundation in our life. He'll expose them. He will show the faults. He will remove all our false supports, all our and confront all our idols. Yesterday I explained an idol for us. We call them in the modern day church a coping mechanism. Or you might call it this way, the refrigerator, chocolate cake, pizza, spending money, binging on Netflix, all those things that I cope with in order to deal with my stress. Wherever I go to under pressure, that's my God. And God, have you noticed they fail us? And God wants to make sure that happens. It says in this, once more, I will remove all those things that are being shaken. Who feels like there's a bit of shaking going on in the earth today? All sorts of shaking. I'm even laughing and thinking, who would have ever thought that one nation would have its influence like it's doing now? That's crazy. You know, and I'm not trying to be political, but can you see the shaking that is happening? It's God, you know. See, what survives the storm is what God intends to set in place. Let me tell you something. Anybody been through a few storms? Anybody suffered through anything in the last season? If you haven't, I can organize that for you. We can organize that, can't we, Elvis? Very easily. You've got, you know, because have you noticed it's part of the cycle that we go with the Lord? That suffering is actually part of it. And there are some things that, because God wants to strip us back of everything that's not Him. See, if it didn't last, it couldn't hold you. Sometimes even those storms, you know, I found in suffering, I find more freedom in my suffering than I do in any other place. Because my chains break off. You know? And I also find out the things that can't bear the weight of what I'm carrying. Do you know you're all carrying something of the kingdom of God on you? You're heavier than you think. And let me tell you something, there are certain things that will not support you and support what you carry other than Him. See, many of our doctrines, many of our belief systems fail us because they're not a real foundation for our life. See, money isn't going to save me. My relationships, my marriage isn't going to save me. They're not going to be the thing that makes me. Jesus is the thing that makes me. Is that true? See, God wants to establish identity before, listen to me, He wants to establish your identity before He establishes your assignment. See, we think our assignment is going to establish us. We all think, oh, if I just got this ministry, then I'm going to know who I am. No. If I can just get married, or I could just get this job, or I could just own this house, or if I could just change my look, like, you know, if I could just have this thing, it will tell me who I am. No, it's the other way around. It's when you know who you are, when your identity gets solidified, the destiny opens up. That's what your calling will open up. Your calling will not make you. Your identity will carry your call. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I have so many people want to do ministry, people want to fulfill their thing. They think there's some location, some point somewhere in life that, oh, it's all going to come together there. That's not true. God wants to establish you. Because let me tell you something, you're going to be moving forward for eternity. There is no destination. God has called us to His eternal glory. Before He establishes function, He establishes identity. Before He clarifies mission, He settles belonging. Many believers are tired. Man, I deal with that all the time. Many people are tired because they're gifted, but they're not connected. They're not submitted. I know so many people, they're gifted, and they're gifted, but they're not connected to a church. They're not, like, putting themselves and submitted, not being trained. Very interesting. I got to have a coffee once with a guy called Jim Wallace, who actually founded the Australian Christian Lobby. Before that, he was a major in the Australian Army. And he was the leader of the Australian SAS. So he can kill you with his thumb. And I'm sitting across the table from this guy who's been in battle and has served our nation on many fronts around the world, most of which he can't tell me where he's been. And I asked him, you know, he's the leader of men. Here's a man who actually, in the SAS manual, you know, he has been with men and had to lead men to their death. He's had to assign men to their death. That's a leader. Who knows that? And he says, you know what? How in the world do you do that? He says, the problem in the church is we don't have competency. We leapfrog. Who knows that your God is going to equip you? God is wanting to establish something in your life even now. In this season, God is wanting to establish something. And guess what's going to happen in the next season? He's going to establish something else in you. In the next season, guess what he's wanting you to do? Establish something else in you. Because believe me, I don't know about you, but I'm over working with or for or around insecure leaders. I'm over following people, and the Lord is over having people lead who don't know who they are and think that their church or their ministry or their business or their money or their looks or their talent is giving some sort of identity to them. God wants to establish who you are before he does anything else. True? We've got to do that. See, people are gifted, but they're not. Did I read this? They're called, but they're insecure. They're anointed, but they're not anchored. I know loads of people that are very anointed, but they're not anchored. They're adrift. They're busy, but they're not on their assignment. Busyness means nothing. 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 Do you think God's busy? Isn't it amazing how Jesus demonstrates what God is like? As soon as it got busy, he would go on holidays. Do you notice how God was not hassled, not pushed, not driven by people, not driven by the need, not driven by the momentum, not driven by the popularity, not driven, not needing, well, we've got a crowd now, we need to keep this going, we need to just get the momentum. All the catch cries of leadership today, Jesus does not apply any of them to his ministry. He said this, I only do what I see the Father doing. That's interesting. They're serving without sonship. If anything, I could say this. The very identity that God wants to put into us all is sonship. Or daughtership. But you know what I mean. Sonship. That when I see you, I see the Father. We're active, but we're without alignment. Are you aligned with this house? Are you aligned with its vision? Are you aligned with its mission? Are you aligned with its heart? I mean aligned, not skeptical, not judgmental, not critical, aligned. Are you letting God do something in you that you would align with it, that you'd humble yourself? Humble yourself. Let me tell you something. I've had many, like I get people, like, because I know so many churches and so many teams and so many stuff. Have people come contact me all the time going, oh, you know, I'm not very happy with my pastor. You know, he's this, he's that. Let me tell you something from scripture I say to them all the time. And I don't think this applies to you, but for some of you need to hear this. There was the worst pastor in the Bible is a guy called Eli. Eli is in charge of the temple. He's got no discernment. In fact, physically, he's a representation of what he is. He's fat. In other words, he's fleshly. Do you know what I mean? He's self-indulgent. He's got no discipline. And he is blind. So he can't see. And then he has no discernment whatsoever. And then this woman who's part of his church, a girl called Hannah, who all she wanted was a baby, comes to church and she's crying and she's just muttering to, she thinks while she's praying that she's drunk. No discernment whatsoever. And then he sort of says, look, woman, you need to get out of here, you know, you need to go sober up before you come to church. And she says, oh no, please don't. And she's respectful. She says, no, I'm really seeking God. And then he gives her this like backhanded, not very respectful, not very honoring. Well, may the Lord do for you whatever you want. Isn't that amazing? And what happens? She has a baby. Not only that, she has probably, if you like, the second prophet in the Old Testament after Moses, a guy called Samuel. A Samuel who, it says this, if Samuel prophesied over you, it would happen. That's a pretty good trial record that none of Samuel's words ever fell to the ground. He was really discerning of God. And guess who taught him to hear God? Eli. See, we all think, oh, if I just had this great church and this great pastor, it has nothing to do with that. It actually has a lot, and you've got to listen to me. If you will align yourself, God will work with you. God will cause great things, and you'll birth things that are far beyond you. Are you hearing me? This year, I see God's establishing you so that you stop striving to be what you are not. You cannot be what you are not. You'll feel more like yourself. You don't need to do everything, but you do need to do your part. And do you know what that part is? Come on. Come on. Church is just not meeting in this room. Is that true? Okay. Church is not just meeting in this room. I'll make it a statement, then not a question. Is that true? That you're responsible. You know what? You're responsible for the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. You are responsible for them. Do you understand that? But do you know what's going on in their life? Are you helping God establish them? Anyway, I could just... Anyway. God is establishing churches in their true context and mission, as well as individuals. I could say that. God is establishing you in your true context. In other words, where you are in the context of where you are, in your family, in your street, in your workplace, in your context. He's establishing you in that. We always think there's something somewhere better over somewhere else. It's amazing how God... See, every church has a grace, has a line, has a location, has a context, and has an assignment. I could say that for every one of you believers. God has a grace for you. God has a lane for you. God has a specific, alignment for you. And he has a specific assignment for you. It's the same thing. You have an assignment. I have an assignment. You have an assignment. None of us are out of us. And none of us have an assignment that is more important than another. Is that true? Sometimes we devalue what we actually are in the kingdom. Remember that total disaster when the space shuttle exploded in the air before it even got through the atmosphere? Because of what they said? One tile came loose. One tile. And a catastrophic. Who knows, tiles are important. I bet you from then on, every astronaut puts his fingers along every tile and prays for it. You know, not every church is called to do the same thing. Who knows? That's true. Not every church is called to do, but every church is called to do something essential. Let me say that. Every believer is not called to do the same thing. Not every believer is called to do, but every believer is called to do something essential. Essential. You matter in the kingdom. You matter, and you have to be established as that. God is ending comparison. He's ending imitations. He's ending competition. God is ending drifting from one program to another without any meaning in it whatsoever. I believe that this year, God is refining your vision because he is establishing your identity. And listen to me. He's going to reaffirm it, C3. By his provision. His supernatural provision. He's going to restore purpose so that we can be wholeheartedly satisfied. You know why people burn out? It's not because of overwork. It's because they are not wholehearted into what they are doing. You will not burn out emotionally, mentally, spiritually, not that that's even a thing, if you are wholehearted into what you are doing. If you may get tired, that's different, you know. But when you're wholehearted into something, you actually can't sleep. You're thinking of it. You're wholehearted into it. Bouncing out of bed. I want to get there. Who remembers that? Who remembers those times? See, it's new tools for new seasons. I didn't get to share this morning. But there's new tools for new seasons. You've got to understand this. Church is reinventing itself. I'm wondering which way I'll go. I'll say this. I didn't get to say this morning. But I'll say this. The church is going from the pool of Bethesda, just the gathering of people. You know the pool, how, you know, the waters would stir and one person would get healed. And yet there were five colonnades with let me say this. God's going to take the church from being the pool of Bethesda where people, you know, where one or two get a touch. But the five, let me say, the fivefold, it's still crippled. The fivefold is not operating as it should be. It's kind of starting to awake, but let me tell you something. God wants the church to be the river in Ezekiel. Wherever it goes, it brings life. Wherever you go, you bring life. It's not some individuals, not some, you know, stirring of the waters to sort of get and then abracadabra, one or two of you will get a touch. No. What's going to happen is that you could read that scripture that it's connected to the temple, but it actually flows from the temple. See, we're trying to get people to come to us. We've got to go to them. Okay, don't get too excited about that. But we're going to go, and you're going to go to them. And you're going to be a river to them. And wherever you go, life will flow with you. Come on. And whatever you touch is going to get healed. Come on. And there are going to be trees and all sorts of things grow around your banks and all that sort of stuff. And people are going to get healed and people are going to get whole and people are going to be brought into the kingdom. Come on. Anyway, I'll say it knowing that it's going to get fulfilled in Jesus' name. Okay. So it's a new season and God is doing new things. Let me give you an example. Is that who can remember when you used to be able to fix a car with just a set of, you know, a set of spanners and a kid up the back. You know, we were talking about his racing career, you know. You could fix a car with some spanner and you could just, and a screwdriver, you could replace the plugs and the distributor cap. Who remembers those? Oh, some old man, we're old, hey. You know, and you could kind of do it. But now, then they brought in electronic fuel injection. And that was the end of the backyard mechanic. Now you had to plug your car in and it would give you codes. Is that true? Now, have you noticed if you buy a new car, it's all covered with plastic. They actually do not want you to touch it. They'll give you bright yellow little caps for you and you're allowed to just pour liquid into those things, hopefully the right liquid, but that's it. Now you've got hybrid cars. Holy smoke. I've got no idea what tools you need to work on one of them. Let me tell you something. Our society is the same. The church is the same. What used to work 50 years ago, 40 years, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, is not going to work now. Are you hearing me? New tools for a new season. And God is going to establish you. What worked in the old season, what used to work in your life, is not going to work anymore. God is going to establish something new in you. He's going to establish this church so that it's not competing, but it contributes to the kingdom of God. He's going to establish every believer so that we don't compare, but we complete. You're here not to compare yourself with anybody else. No one can be who you are. But you're here to complete it. You have to know you are. You have to accept who you are. You have to be who you are. When identity is settled, unity increases. When your calling is clear, fruit multiplies. When we know our place, strength flows. It's not a year of fragmentation. It's a year of alignment. Amen. I want to say this over you. I declare, you know, that you're no longer going to strive for significance. You're going to know who you are in Christ. You're going to know where you belong in the body. You're going to know what God's grace is that has been entrusted to you. You're not going to be overwhelmed. You're going to obey. You're not going to compete, you're going to complete. You're not going to drift, you're going to align yourself. And you'll fulfill your part in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. If you can, if it's okay, I want you to put your hand on the shoulder of the person on either side of you. Is that okay? Just ask them, is that okay? If I can, you know, be polite. Guys, this could be your big opportunity. We're just going to pray over them that God will establish them. Amen. Father, we just pray together. Lord, we thank you that this person is anointed, that they're called, that they're blessed, and that you're establishing them mightily and powerfully in the kingdom of God. Father, I pray, I call out on them the grace of God that is on them to fulfill their assignment, and we even call out their assignment. Father, we thank you that for their identity, for who they are, and that you're going to establish who they are in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, that was a good message, hey? Turn to your neighbor and say, you needed that. Pastor Stephen, we're going to pray for some people if we can. Pastor Stephen, you want to tell me who I'm going to pray for? Yeah, you come.
Good morning, everyone. Bert, do you mind? Boom. Hey, why don't we just raise our hands to the Lord this morning? Father, we thank you this morning for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord God, that you infuse your identity in us.
Yes, Father.
May we walk, Lord God. May we be everything that you have called us to be. May we align ourselves with who you say that we are. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Susan. Susan?
Susan? Who's Susan?
Susan, you can stand.
Oh, Susan here. Auntie.
Yeah.
Do you want to stand up, Susan? Can you stand up? So, let me tell you something, Susan. I got this funny vision. It's like, I don't know quite how to say this. It's like you have a tail. You know, and it's like, I'm not saying you're a monkey, but it's kind of like, do you know what I mean? Like how it gives them an extra hand, how it gives them an extra balance, how it enables them to do what's not possible. There's a supernatural aspect of your life.
Yes.
That is, you don't see it. There's a supernatural aspect of your life to be able to climb, be able to reach, and to be get hold of fruit in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen? Come on. It's like, and there's a new freedom coming to your life where it's like that. Imagine if you had a tail and you could just hang off a branch to give you like your two hands. Who would like a tail? A tail would be handy, do you know? So that you can, because you, wouldn't that give you an extra set of hands, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh man, come on. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, sister. Amen. That's funny. Who?
Andrew.
Andrew. Who's Andrew?
Baker.
Oh, Andrew here. Andrew. Oh, is your wife with you? You're not married. Okay.
Happily not married.
Have been not married.
No, happily not married.
But this is your son? Okay, how many of these have you got? Just the one. What's his name? Zach. Oh, come on, Zach. Let me tell you something. There's something in your family that God is going to do something great in your family, Andrew. And you're going to miss out on a thing. In fact, it's like God keeps... It's like he gives you pocket money. And I mean like... gifts. And God has already stored up for you ahead of time whatever you need. It's already there. It's already established. You know how we go shopping and we put it all in the fridge and we put it all in the pantry and then the family comes in, they're wondering what they're going to have? But the Father has already got it in store for you. He's already, don't wonder whether God has it. He's got it. You just ask. But even now, you're going to find little gifts and little surprises being dropped to you in Jesus' name, okay? And it's kind of, as you humble yourself, you watch God make a way, how God, people are just going to bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh.
Miss Janine.
That one.
Yeah, that one first.
Oh, Janine, You know, the Lord is so thankful that he has you. Because what would he do without you? Do you know? And it's true. It's true. Is that God is establishing your eyesight like never before. Your ability to see God, see what God is doing, point to what God is doing. In fact, that's what it's like. A lot of the prophets, not saying you're that, but you can point to what God is doing in a person's life. You can see God in a situation, and that's your job, that's your role, is to point, there's the Lord. And I can see God opening up your eyes, you know, like the servant of Elijah, that he opened up and he saw that there is more for them than against them. In Jesus' name. There is more for you than against you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Jeanette and Aaron. Can you guys just stand? Thank you.
What did he do? Huh?
They're a couple.
They're a couple?
Oh, he plays on the band and she's serving.
Are you fighting this morning? What did he do? Does he need to say sorry? Do you want to come up? Because it's like, can you come here? Would that be good, darling? Thank you. Well, they're all coming out. Here we go. Bless you. How long have you been married? 30 years. Oh my gosh. Give them a hand. It's like there's this celebration inside you both. There's a celebration, like a party of this new joy that's about to come. And even now, sister, God is healing you. God is healing you from the inside out in Jesus' name. Feel like there's been some blood thing, something that's been going on. God's going to sort that out in Jesus' name. And for you, brother, it's like, I don't know if you've got headaches or, do you get that? Headaches? Yes? Or some pressure or something? Father, I pray right now that God would heal that in the name of Jesus. And I just see this new season of God's greatness and God's goodness upon you. God's greatness and God's goodness upon you in the name of Jesus. And God's going to restore and God's going to establish his kingdom in and around you. But Father, I pray divine health upon both these people. Father, even despite the mileage and the work, that Father, Lord, that you restore their youth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you, Pastor.
And Miss Jan.
Jan,
at the back.
Jan. Oh, Jan. Hey, Jan. What do you do for work? You're retired, or what? What did you do? A trainer. What does that mean? Like in a gym? In a lion's cage? Like what did you train? Like. Oh, okay. Okay, this is what I see. I see you have a compassionate heart. Very, very compassionate heart. And Jesus would, every time he would do a great miracle, he would be moved with compassion. And there's miracles ahead of you, Jan. Do you not understand that? Like, there's the gift of miracles wanting to operate through you. It is always one. It's not a new thing, but God is wanting to establish you that you can step in and do miracles. Okay? Miracles, like I'm talking about, not just like smart or not do, I mean a dead set miracle, like walking on water, like multiplication of things, or like a miracle, healings, all sorts of stuff, supply, all sorts of things. Miracles is what God wants to see you move in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need a miracle, go see Jan. In Jesus' name.
Yes, I will have a dear at the back there, the African gentleman.
The African gentleman.
And his wife.
There's about 20 of them in here.
Oh, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, you can stand.
Who's he?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, wow. Just, yes, stay there. Wow. So you're really rich, are you? How did you get such a beautiful wife? Did you lie or something? That's really great. Let me tell you something, mate. It's like God is with your voice. With your voice, you can create a world with your voice, and you have done. You can pull them down. Let me tell you something. God is with your voice. Okay? And as you say, blessing, blessing will flow. And you bless your wife, you bless your kids, you bless your workplace. God is with your mouth to bring blessing in Jesus' name. And sister, I feel like, are you a teacher or an educator? Yeah. What do you do? Finance. Well, I was way off then, hey. So she's the rich one. Come on. Wow, you married. See, you're like a kept boy. Are you the toy boy or something? What are you? Let me say something, darling. But let me tell you, I still feel, let me say this. It's like instructing, maybe like what Jan, like teaching people, instructing people, mothering people, all that sort of stuff is kind of more your lane. You're smart, but you're actually more of a heart person than a head person. Everybody thinks you're a head person, but you're not a head person. You're actually a heart person in Jesus' name. You're more of a mother than like a headmistress. You're more of a mother than like a school teacher. You're a mother in Jesus' name. And people of all age, your mother, older people, younger people, it doesn't matter. You'll mother them and they'll see that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
My name is Christine. Justine. Oh my goodness. Sorry. I'm unwell. It's Justine.
Justine? Justine. Oh, Justine, were you in our thing yesterday?
No.
No. Do you want to think about that? You know? Justine, who are these girls with you? Okay. Let me say to Justine, it's like, it says Proverbs 31 that this woman, she could grab hold of the spindle. Like there's something about your grip, something about your ability to lay hold of something and the skill, like you're very skilled with your hands, very skilled, very capable, very not overcome. Like I would almost say this over that you're a winner, that you overcome, you overcome, you overcome. And that your race is literally only beginning. Like everything you've done up until now is just been training. It's just been getting ready, you know? Sometimes you think like Joseph, all of his up and downs of his life were only preparation for when he stood before Pharaoh and all that skill came to the forefront. And I would say this to you, darling, that you're just about to, some big door, some opportunity, and someone's gonna really recognize the skills that you've built up over years in the name of Jesus. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Are you working? What do you do? Contracted to the feds. Defense. A contractor for the defense. Like you kill people for money? What does that mean? It sounds like
no,
that.
No, she works for the, she's a contractor to defense. Industries, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like a hired hit girl, something like that. It feels like that. Well, I pray that their promotion come and God establish you in that. And it's only the beginning, okay? It's only the beginning of some new season and some new great thing. And you're going to feel like in that position, it's actually going to fit you. You're going to feel more like yourself than ever before in Jesus' name. Amen. I want that word.
Yes.
Amen.
Mr. Stewart.
Mr. Stewart. Mr. Stewart. Was that you here? Stewart, let me tell you something. You're about to grow up. Yeah, it sounds like, yeah. There's going to be this new maturity and this new thing, and you're hiding behind, you actually hide behind immaturity. When you're actually, you can be a clown and you can be fun, and you can be all of that, but there's actually a great wise man in behind all of that. And God wants to establish that. God wants to strip away all the hiding and all the things that you kind of have been supports to you. They're not going to work anymore. And you've got to be the man of God that God has called you to be. That can shoulder weight, that can take responsibility, that can fulfill things, that can be given a task and you take them to completion in Jesus' name. I come against every curse and every person that's told you that you're not dependable, that you're not, that's not God. You're dependable, you're powerful, and God's going to do great things in and through you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Fiona and Charles.
Fiona Charles.
No, Fiona and Charles.
Oh, Fiona and Charles. Oh, wow. Oh, Fiona. Hey, Fiona. She's my man. We had a. She is my sparring partner from yesterday. So this is good. So this is your eldest son, is it? No.
It's a husband.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get it. No.
Yeah. We all thought that, so. Do you guys own a caravan? Not anymore. Okay, because that's what I see you in. I see you in a caravan, like on this, like a journey. So it's probably a metaphor for, isn't that funny that a caravan has almost everything that you, especially now, like sort of a self-contained unit. And God is going to make you very self-contained and mobile. Very self-contained and mobile. And you'll be able to move and do things and go to places and do things, all self-contained, lacking nothing. He's going to establish you, perfect you, and strengthen you so that you lack nothing. You're not going to be always, I don't think you've been like this, but you know how some other people, you know, those people, always got a handout, always feeling like they need a promotion, always they thinking like their life is in the hand of other people. You're, from now on, if there's been that thinking or that sort of thing, you are not in the hands of man. You're not in the hands of people. People can't open and shut doors. God is the person who's going to open and shut doors, and around you, you're going to have a new revelation of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Comfort and Mr. Mohawk there.
With a mohawk?
Yes.
And who's the mohawk?
No.
I see that hand. Oh, hey, darling, how are you?
So both of them.
So husband. Who's this guy?
That's the husband.
That's her husband? Do you want to stand up, the two of you? So what's your names?
It's Comfort.
Comfort, yes.
It's the wife's name. Nana.
Nana, what does Nana mean? It means a king. That is very true. That is very, very, very true. And there's royalty about you, and there's governance about you. Governance about you. And I can see that God, you are there for the benefit of every person around you. You're there for their benefit. No person is a resource. You are the resource for others, guys. You've been educated and blessed and have amazing favor on your lives. Amazing favor on your lives for the benefit of other people. Did Jesus, you're like, I could say this. You know how Jesus had so much favor on him? He knew the Father was with him for the benefit of us. You're going to make a way for people. You're going to give promotions to people. You're going to bless people. Do you work for yourself, or? You're a welder and a fabricator for now. Father, I pray that a promotion or a new thing and a new season to go into that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You're going to start, I'm going to believe this, that you're going to make money from here up. From here up, both of you, in Jesus' name, amen. You're meant to rule, and you're meant to rule. Oh, let's say that. So there's leadership, and then there's rulership. Rulership. That you can, I want you to learn this, the voice of a king. The voice of a king. Because that's what you have. And kings declare things. And it's like they make law. You know? If you read, like David had a celebration where everybody left. Everybody that came for a celebration. No, it was Solomon. When everybody came to the temple, everybody left with a loaf of bread. Do you know the story? That's what you're going to be like. You're going to go, God, I just declare that everybody here is going to leave with something. And it's going to be like what you declare will start to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. You, darling, it's like, have you got any kids yet? We're pointing at the floor. There's one down. Oh, you're going to pick him up? Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Can you make another one so I could take it home? I want one of them. Good job. That's very good cooks, hey. Very good. Keep them coming, darling. You know? Let me say this. It's like you have this. There's a beauty about you that is beyond your physicality. There's a beauty inside you. It's really interesting. I see you like Esther, that for such a time as this that you have come into the kingdom. Into the kingdom. Isn't that funny that you're married to a king? And that you're going to bring justice to people, and that you're going to be a person that stands in the gap for people to see justice and good things come to them, even to your own people, even to the own people of your own ethnicity in this nation. You're going to see that justice comes to them. You're going to have a huge influence within that culture in this city, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are going to be a force, and you are a force to be reckoned with, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Just Miss Hazel.
Miss Hazel?
Yeah. Yeah, there at the back.
Hazel. Where's Hazel? Hazel. Hey, man. Were you at the thing yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes, you were. Hey, Hazel. Hazel, let me say this. That's not your real name. It's your middle name. What's your real name?
Fadzisai.
Fadzisai.
Fadzi.
Fadzi?
Fadzi.
Fadzi?
Yeah, Fadzisai.
So whatever he said.
Fadzi.
You think it's funny, eh?
No, it's
what does that mean?
Make happy.
Make happy.
Yeah.
Oh, amen. That's your word.
Yes.
You make happy. You make happy. Hazel is kind of nice, but make happy, that's who you are. You're not just a flavor. You are a ministry. You make happy. You make happy. And it's interesting. I see you having a voice. People above you at work, people in influence above you are going to listen to you in Jesus' name. You've got a voice that's going to be heard above you, not below you, but above you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Maybe please have Steve and Latoya.
Stephen?
Steve and Latoya, yeah, that's correct.
Latoya?
Yeah. Latonya.
Latonya.
And Steve.
Latonya and Steve. Oh, hey, Garland, how are you? Where were you yesterday, handsome? At home looking after the kids, were you? Oh, good. He's well trained, hey? So how long have you guys been married? Oh, my gosh. 16 years. How old was she when you married her? Like 12. Oh, okay. We're working on some things, are we? That's so good. It's like, you know what? It's almost like you get like these annoying things happen to you. Like you don't mean to have it happen, but this stuff, you know, it's almost like I see you, like you walk along and then you find you got chewing gum on your shoe. You're like, how does that happen to you? But let me tell you something. I'm going to believe from now that something's going to happen about your walk where you're not going to get stuck. You're not going to all of a sudden step into stuff that you're not supposed to step into. Like life has been sort of almost full of those little haphazard, annoying, bad things. It's not like you're cursed, but it's not like you're blessed. But I want to declare over you, my friend, blessing. Blessing. Blessing that you haven't earned, that you don't deserve, but because you're a son, and you're going to find out what that's really, really like in Jesus' name. Amen. God's going to heal something in your heart and in your identity, and it's going to make all the difference in the world. And there's going to be, you're going to have this confidence in this joy, in this hope, in this expectation of good in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's like this, darling, you carry the glory. Like that scripture says, may the glory of God be upon you. And it is upon you, but you're going to wait and see what God starts to do. His goodness is, it's literally, I can see God's goodness soaking into you. And it's like, you're going to become like nourished and like moist and unbreakable. Not brittle, like malleable, you know, soft. You're not going to have to protect yourself anymore. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.
We just have Elvis.
Elvis?
Yeah.
Where's Alicia? She's gone. She's making the tea. Is she? Oh, Elvis. I love Elvis. Who loves him? You know? Elvis, you have great favor on your life. And you know sonship. You actually know sonship. You know that. And the Lord has put a wide path in front of you. Not a narrow path, a wide path, because He trusts you. And He has given you a new weight and a new measure of calling and a new understanding of authority and a new place to operate from. A new place even, and it's actually not an external thing, it's actually an internal thing within yourself. It's almost like the voice within you is going to change. To be like, not the voice of a youngster, it's like this older voice within you. This voice of a father. This voice that is going to flow from you. Here she is, one of my favorite disciples in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something, darling. It's like, I want to say this over you. There's going to be this new peace and this new rest come upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. And that, like, the concept of Father is still a concept, not a reality to you yet. But then you're going to find yourself fathered like you've never known before. I want to tell you, my daughter-in-law lost her dad when she was 11. And I know that, so every time I see her, I give her money. And she really struggles with it. She's like, oh no, I can't take it. And it's like, I try every time to be over the top indulgent of her. And I feel like the Lord wants to do that with you. Over the top indulgent. What you really need in Jesus' name. So Father, I pray a new peace and a new blessing upon this couple. May they know your goodness, your loving kindness, and your mercy. May they know supernatural favor, even beyond what they've had and experienced. Let it be supernatural. Let it not be seen as not their smarts or their ability, but way beyond that in Jesus' name. I see you both like Daniel, like going, just being able to go through one season to the next thing, with more and more favor, a supernatural thing in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Lily. Lily.
Lynn?
Lily.
Is it? Yeah. Lee?
Lily.
Lily. Lily. Oh, Lily, I was hoping he would point you out. This is Lily. You already have a lot of joy. You already do that. It's like you have that I bring joy thing. Do you know? You do that, but it's actually supernatural. And there's going to be some aspects of your life. Everybody thinks you're such a good girl and you're so sweet. And you get all those compliments about that, how nice you are. But actually, you're more powerful than you are sweet. You're actually way more powerful than you are sweet. I'm kind of seeing it, you know, like, and I don't know how I even say it. There's a show, because I'm not really a TV person or anything like that, but there's a show where there's like this cute little blonde, but she has like dragons. Do you know the show I mean? What's that called? Game of Thrones? Yeah, there you go. King's saying it's the thing. But actually, like that, she's like three, but then she has these powerful beings at her disposal. And I can sort of see even now, you have like three big angelic entities that they aren't actually in human form. I can see. It's like they are fiercely big, powerful beings that are actually assigned to you at your disposal. Holy smoke. I want this word, Father. Okay? So it's literally like, man, I feel like you could go anywhere on this planet, nothing would be able to touch you. Nothing. Fear should be so far from your thinking, so far away from you, because let me tell you something. It's like warfare. I don't know if you've got a saved mum. Is your mum here? Is this your mum? This is your Tammy, is your mum. Holy smoke. Well, that makes a whole lot more sense. You know, it's like all these prayers. Someone has been really praying into your world before you even arrived to set you up. It's like warfare has gone ahead of you. Like all the way, it's like almost like this stored up warfare to go ahead of you. Maybe parents, grandparents, someone's been praying like a lunatic on your behalf to create this thing. And these beings were assigned to you from long, long, long ago. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. Amen. Please, let's give Pastor Murray a hand. We know we've gone a bit over time, but we just want to just finish off with something. Just want to, you know, just take the time to just give into the work that Pastor Mari does. So we're just going to take a love offering. We'll just get the people. Pardon? Yeah, please go ahead. There is a night service, so it's at 6:30 p.m. Sorry. So it'd be lovely to get you here if you can. But yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're just really grateful for Pastor Mari, for his life and for what he brings, and him being part of the family. As much as you feel like this is home, we really feel like you are our brother, our father, our uncle, you name it. So we're very grateful. So I'll just finish off with prayer. Most important thing, the altar call. We can't leave that. So we're just going to give an opportunity for anyone who doesn't actually have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, just to kind of say a prayer. So we usually say it all together. So I'm just going to get you to just pray with me and say what I say. Pray after me, please. Let's close our eyes and just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Still with every eye closed, if you've prayed that prayer for the very first time, please can you just raise your hand so I can see you? Thank you. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you. Is that a hand there? Yes, thank you. That's three people. Please, let's give them a hand. That's just amazing. We thank you, Jesus, for those lives. We thank you for those women, Father, and we thank you for their families, and Lord, that history is changing from this moment for them. We'll make sure we catch up with all three of you. All right. Have a great afternoon. Thank you for your time. Yes, there's an FPOS machine there with Elvis. If you want to use that to give into the work of Pastor Mari, please. So thank you very much. Please, you are released. Have fun and please come back if you can. Change your plans if you need to. It's going to be great. Thank you.